Each weekday, a member of the community is invited to coffee at KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Coffee at KYUK is where our community connects.
Hola, waka chokma, all across the tundra. I'm also shouting out to the Yukon and the coast. Grady Deegan here, coffee at KYUK. As usual, excited, sharing my excitement with you. Coffee and oatmeal on my sideboard, ready to face the day. Over 300,000 people in the United States have died from COVID-19. That's over 300,000 families who have lost loved ones to the virus. Today we have the story from one of those families who lives here in Bethel. Leanne White is the mother of four children. Her husband, Kevin White, died in November at age 35 from complications due to COVID-19. KYUK's Anna Rose MacArthur talked with Leanne White last week.
You both tested positive for COVID-19 in late October?
Yeah. I got off my shift. And when I woke up the next day, I couldn't taste anything. And I went back out to the living room and I looked at him. I said, Kevin, I can't taste anything. He just acknowledged me. He said, okay. And I said, we have to go get tested tomorrow, because it was already late in the day. When we woke up the next day, we went to the COVID tent and both of us got tested. I think it was on the 29th when they called and they said, as soon as I knew that he was positive, I got very worried. Like the last time he had the flu, he developed pneumonia and he was very sick. I talked to them and they said mine was negative. Here I was, the one that had the symptoms of no taste and no smell. They said to go get retested on the next Monday. Everybody got tested then. All of us came back positive. 2 or 3 days later, Kevin started getting very bad symptoms. His respirations were high and his heart rate. He was sweating very hard. He said he was having body aches and headaches. I told him that he needs to go to the hospital because he has pneumonia. And just by looking at him, I knew. You know, because the last time he had pneumonia, he was acting the same way. Or before we left the house, he told the boys, he said to my oldest, Presley, you're the man of the house now. Take care of your family. On our way to the hospital, he said, I wrote a note for you. He started reading it to me. He had much love in his voice when he was reading it to me. He said, hi, my love. I really appreciate all you do for us. I'm glad you stuck by my side in spite of all the times I have failed you. You are a wonderful woman. I have come to love you, adore you. I am truly blessed and grateful to have you as a wife. Let this day be the day I recommit my vows. Our marriage is strong because you are strong. Although there was times I have pushed you to the edge of breaking us apart, you are a good example of a person who stands by a husband for better or for worse. And in this case, you know I was the worst of all unfaithful people. If you accept me today, I will love you even more. If we made it this far, I know we can ride out the storms of life and if we made it this far, I know we can ride out through the storms of life and all it has to offer. I just want to say a big thank you for sticking by me. Metaphorically speaking, although I have threw a lot of stones at you, it is unimaginable why you stood by me, especially in this hellfire I put you through. Even it is hard to ask for your forgiveness, I am sorry, your partner. I love you, Leanne.
That was beautiful.
I was trying to drive and tears were coming out of my eyes and I was trying to not crash. And when we got to the hospital, I got a wheelchair because it was hard for him to walk. And I'm almost done. I looked at him and I almost cried, but I held it back. And I leaned over and I tried to hug him. I wanted to squeeze him, but he didn't squeeze me back. And he said, "You don't have to do that." And I looked at him again and he said, "I'll see you later." And I smiled at him and I said, "Yeah, I'll see you later. Just call me when you're done and I'll come get you." Before I walked away, I smacked him on his back and I said, "I'll see you later, buddy." And he looked kind of embarrassed, but he giggled and he said, "Yeah." And that was the last time I touched him. And that, the way he said that he was going to see me later, it gives me hope. And it encourages me to stay positive because we will see him later. And when the time comes to see him, it'll be like it was a blink of an eye.
And what happened after that, after you left the hospital?
After I left the hospital, we came to the house and I called him right away. When he told me his respirations were still high, and after they gave him oxygen, his heart rate and respirations went down, and I knew they were going to admit him because his body needed oxygen. And we would talk off and on throughout the remainder of the night. I think it was around 11 in the morning. He called me and he said that they were medevacing him to Providence. And I packed a bag for him. I took all the kids with me to the hospital and we went to the employee parking lot because I knew his room was on that side. We went out and played in the snow a little bit and made a snowman. And I told Kevin to look out the window until I noticed the AeroMed ambulance was by the hospital. We moved from the employee parking lot to the entrance and waited for them to come out. When they came out, I honked the horn at them just so he'll know we're there. And we followed them to the airport and watched him get in the matter of fact, plane. After the garden, we moved to the end of the airstrip and watched them take off. After they were out of sight, we came to the house and it felt like he was on another hunting trip, and I was just waiting for him at home, hoping and praying that he will come home safely. He texted me and let me know he got to Providence. I think it was around 1:30 in the morning he called me and he said, they're going to intubate me right now. My breathing is getting worse, and if I stay like this, my lungs will just give up. He said, okay, I gotta go now. He said, I love you and sweet dreams. Because he was the one being intubated, I said, you sweet dreams. And I started crying. I was crying so hard. And I said, Kevin, don't leave me. I heard him hang up the phone. It was the last thing he said to me. Sweet dreams. Over the next week, I wasn't allowed to visit him, so I stayed at my sister's place in Anchorage. And when his condition got worse, the doctor called me and he said, we're going to allow you to come and see him, but you can't go in the room. I think I got there around 10:30. I watched him breathe and his heart rate going up and down. And they said, he was on his belly. They said, we're going to go turn him to his back, and I just want you to be prepared. And as they were turning him, his heart rate on the monitor stopped. That was it. When I got to the hospital, I called his mom and my mom, and we were talking to him on his room phone. I called our pastor, Bradbury, and had him pray over him before they turned him. And I'm so thankful for them. Right now, at this time, I just want everybody to continue to pray for us. And even if you feel like your prayers are empty, they're not. I can feel them. I feel your love, and it's encouraging.
You shared so much, and I really appreciate it. Kevin passed on November 16th.
Yeah. He passed away on November 16 at 12:59 p.m.
And how old was he?
He was 35. In one of the texts, Kevin said that he overheard the doctor talking to maybe another nurse or another doctor. He overheard them say that Kevin was the youngest patient with COVID-19 and very bad symptoms.
35 is so young. And yeah. You said that he had pneumonia the last time that he had gotten the flu. Had he had pneumonia before, or a tendency towards that, or other pre-existing conditions?
When I got to the hospital, the nurses were asking me about that, and they said that he was a very healthy person, very strong, and they couldn't understand why he got so sick. I think it was because he had pneumonia a couple times, and probably he had scarring in his lungs that couldn't handle the COVID.
And how old are you, Leanne?
I'm 35. I'm just a month and a half older than him.
Before, when you're talking about testing positive for COVID, so you and Kevin and your four children all tested positive?
Yeah, we were all positive.
Mm-hmm. Have you and your four children recovered from COVID?
Yeah, we're all good. We don't have any symptoms, and we're kind of back to normal. There's no Kevin here.
Leanne, is there anything else you'd like to share?
And I thank everybody so much for the prayers.
And is there anything you'd like people to know about the virus, or any action you'd like to see taken around the virus?
It's not hard to wear your mask. I mean, maybe it's uncomfortable, but just wear your mask and wash your hands. Cover your mouth when you cough or sneeze. Lately, I've been getting a lot of elbow bumps because we can't hug each other. Practice 6 feet social distancing. Even at the post office, I see people gathering when they call for yellow slips. Just do it one at a time. And take care of each other. It's hard for everybody, not just you.
Well, Leanne, thank you so much for talking with me and for sharing your story.
Thank you for getting a hold of me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad. I'm happy to talk about it because it's healing and it helps me to let it out.
That was Bethel resident Leanne White talking with KYUK's Anna Rose MacArthur. Leanne's husband, Kevin White, died from complications due to COVID-19 in November, leaving behind his wife and four children. He was 35 years old. Hold your loved ones close, folks. Don't forget to be awesome to each other.